not let the wicked stand. Om Hari Om Sri Guru Pyo Namaha Hari Om Satsam Yora Vrini Mahe Jatam Yatnaya Jatam Yatnapataye Daivi Sastirastunaha Sastir Manushepyaha Urdam Jigadu Bheshajam Sanno Astut Vipade Sham Chatushpate Om Shanti 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 Sahasrajira Shapurushaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapad Sabhumim Vishvato Vritva Atya Tishtat Jashankulam Purusha Yevedakam Sarvam Yat Bhutam Yatcha Bhavyam Utamritatva Sishanaha Yatannena Tirohati Etavanasya Mahima Yato Jayakam Chapurushaha Padosya Vishwa Bhutani Tripadasya Mritam Divi Tripadurdhva Udeh Purushaha Padosya Bhavatpunaha To Vishwam Vikramate Sashananashane Abhi Tasmat Virada Jayata Virajo Adhipurushaha Sajato Atyarichyata Paschathumimato Puraha Yatpurushena Havisha Deva Yatnyamatanvata Vasanto Asyasitajyam Grishma Yitmasharadhavihi Saptasyasan Paridhayaha Trisaptas Samithakritaha Devayat Yatnyam Tanvanaha Abhaknan Purusham Pashum Sanyatnyam Barhishi Praukshanna Purusham Jadamagrataha Tena Deva Ayajanta Sadhya Rishayaschaye Tasmat Yatnya Sarvahudaha Sambritam Prishadajyam Ashogam Stagam Chakreva Yavyana Aranyan Gramyanschaye Tasmat Yatnya Sarvahudaha Richasamani Jatnide Chandakam Sijatnide Tasmad Ejustasmad Ajayata Tasmad Ashwa Ajayanta Eke Chobhayatataha Javoha Jatnide Tasmad Tasmad Jata Ajavayaha Yat Purusham Vidaduhu Kathita Vikalpayanna Mukham Kimasya Kaubahu Kaurubada Uchyete Ammanosya Mukhamasid Bahu Rajan Hekridaha Urutadasya Yat Vaishyaha Patyagam Sutru Ajayatam Chandrama Manaso Jataha Chakso Suryo Ajayata Mukhadindrascha Agnischa Pranatvayurajayata Nabhya Asidantariksham Sishnadhyo Samavartata Padhyambho Mithishashrotrata Tathap Akalpayan Vedahametam Purusham Mahantam ஆதித்யவர்ணம் தமசஸ்து பாரே சர்வாணி ரூபாணி விசித்யதீனஹ நாமானி க்ருத்வா விவதன்யதாஸ்தே தாதா புரஸ்தாத்தனுஜாஜஹார சக்ரப்ரவித்வான் ப்ரதிசச்சதஸ்ரஹ தமேவம் வித்வான் அமிருத இஹ பவதி நான்யப் பந்தா அயதாய வித்யதே யஜ்ஞேன யஜ்ஞமயஜந்த தேவாஹ தானி தன்மானி ப்ரதமான்யாசன் தேரதாகம் மகிமானஸ்தசந்தே யத்ர பூர்வே சாத்யா சந்தி தேவாஹ அப்யசம்போத ப்ருதவேரசாச்ச விஸ்வகர்மணஸ் சமவர்த்ததாதி தஸ்ய த்வஷ்டா விததத்ரூபமேதி தத்புருஷஸ்ய விஸ்வமாஜானமக்ரே வேதாஹமேதம் புருஷம் மகாந்தம் ஆதித்யவர்ணம் தமஸஃ பரஸ்தாத் தமேவம் வித்வான் அமிருத இஹ பவதி நான்யப் பந்தா வித்யதேயநாய ப்ரஜாபதிஷ்சரதி கர்ப்பே அந்தஹ அஜாயமானோ பகுதா விஜாயதே தஸ்ய தீரா பரிஜானந்தி யோனிம் மரீசீனாம் பதமிச்சந்தி வேதசஹ யோ தேவேப்ய ஆதபதி யோ தேவானாம் புரோஹித பூர்வோ யோ தேவேப்யோ ஜாதஹ நமோ ருச்சாய ப்ராஹ்மயே ருச்சம் ப்ராஹ்மம் ஜனயந்தஹ தேவா அக்ரே ததப்ருவன் யஸ்வைவம் ப்ராஹ்மணோ வித்யாத் தஸ்ய தேவா அசன்வசே ரீஷ்சதே லக்ஷ்மீஷ்ச பத்ன்யோ ராத்ரே பார்ஷே அச்சத்ராணி ரூபம் அஸ்வினோ வ்யாப்தம் இஷ்டம் மனிஷாண அமும் மனிஷாண சர்வம் மனிஷாண ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஜனகல்யாணே நிரதம் கருணாமயம் நமாமி சின்மயம் தேவம் சத்குரும் பிரம்மவித்வரம். ஓம் சகனாவவது சகனௌ புனக்து சகவீர்யம் கரவாவஹை தேஜஸ்வினாவதீதமஸ்து மா வித்விஷாவகை. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஹரிஹி ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். So we start today morning Purusha Sukta. Now, two words are there, Purusha and Sukta. Sukta means set, something that is set, Sukta. Now, Sukta, very well set. If somebody says something very well, it should be in the form of praise. So, this is, a Sukta means something that is in praise of who? Purusha. So in English it is called him. So it is a praise sung in praise of Lord Bhagavan. Suktam. And then again, this hymn, sometimes, you know, we have a problem. Somebody said, we sing hymn. Now somebody said, why not hers? So, but that is because it is hymn. So we don't have that problem. We have Devi's also. The hers also we have. So we don't have that. So. Now this Purusha, one simple meaning is Stri Purusha. So that is one meaning. But if you take that meaning, it will be very difficult. Because it's, if you are singing in praise of him, it will be. That is Purusha Shabda. So it's a man and woman, Stri Purusha. So that is not the meaning here. So this Purusha, Suktam, sung in praise of whom? Purusha. It can also mean common name, a person. But in Vedas, when it is said, it means God, Paramatma, Purusha. Now, Purusha Shabda has got two meanings. Sudhasranama, Bhagavan. Shankaracharya has given two meanings. Purnatvat, Purusha. Purishayanat, Purusha. Two meanings are there. So that which fills the entire universe is Purusha. So that means at once it is showing the universality. The entire creation, that which fills, is Purusha. At the same time, Purushayanat Purusha. So the transcendental nature and immanent nature, both are there. The individual and total. So individual is what? Purishayanat. Puri means this body. Vatvare Pure Dehi. So Puri, this city. This body is considered a city. Why? Because it has got 9 gates. So, and there is a resident. And that resident is Bhagavan. Purushaha. So Purishayanat Purushaha. Purnatvat Purushaha. So that self, individual self, that which pervades the whole creation and reside in each individual as self, is this Purushaha. Now, it is not proper to sing in praise of him. It is proper to sing in praise of him. So it is a most popular hymn. This is the first sukta that is taught for all the Vedic students. People who are studying Veda, Vedic chanting, the first sukta is taught. Sometimes some people teach Veda sukta first, so that memory is very important. And then they teach this sukta. And this is found in most of the Vedas, all the Vedas, four Vedas. Rigveda, Yajurveda, Sama Vedas. In all of them, Purusha Suktam is common. But they are all different versions are there. In sung also differently. The most popular version is South India, the Yajurveda. Yajurveda portion is that 18 mantras. Then Rigveda portion is 16 mantras. So we are going to see the Yajurveda portion, that is the 18 mantras. That's why the second portion that we sung, we are not going to see that in the book. Only 18 mantras are there. And this, the Bhagavan Vyasa was the one who collected, because before him, Vedas were actually one book. It was not even one book, it's one parampara. That was handed over from Guru to Shishya through Karna Parampara. So those days they had a lot of memory and power. So once they hear, they are able to remember. That you can see in our children, when they are little kids, if you repeat to them, they will remember. They don't even know how to read, but they remember. In our Balavihar and summer camp, we teach them this Vedic chanting. Without book, they are able to remember. And as you grow older, that capacity slowly will go away. But olden times, they had that retention power. But then later on, Bhagavan Vyasa thought that in the coming generation, they will not have that kind of retention power. So, because modern time, we are depending upon our machines, computers. Any little problem, small calculation also, we are not trained our mind to calculate. We always use calculation. Even I heard today the kids also, they mathematically attach with calculator. So, and computer. So, this is the age. So, our memory is totally, slowly being rusty, getting rusty, not being used. So Bhagavan saw that, Bhagavan Vyasa Bhagavan saw that, so he collected the available Vedas and edited them, printed, published them into four Vedas. And Bhagavan Vyasa was the one who first time made into a book form. Book in the sense, not a printed form, but they wrote on the palm leaves. Or so, think about the amount of work that he has done. So the script writers were not there those days, too many. And getting those people, engaging them on a daily basis and collecting them and taught these Vedas into four disciples. Each one of them were expert in one particular Vedas. And those disciples were asked to propagate this Vedas. And the Vedas means, no, including ritualistic portion and the Upasana portion and Vedanta, the Upanishad portion. But put together, it's very voluminous. Now, those people, they used to remember all this. And afterwards, the disciples who propagated these Vedas, they also found that this one Veda itself is not possible for people to remember. So divided that also into sections. So that's why you see Krishna Yajurveda, Shukla Yajurveda, the branches are there. So this is how it has come down. Now, Purusha Suktam is found in all Vedas, but then the different versions, most popular is Rigveda and Yajurveda. So then, now, before chanting, we should know if the mantras before chanting, there is a meter that they use. So, the Vedic meter is composed in a particular meter. And there is a seer of the mantra. We in Vedas, we don't say rishis are mantra karta, we don't say mantra drashta. It was revealed to them. In their meditation, it was revealed to them. It is something like today's scientist also. They don't create the law. They only discover the law. So, the what you call Newton or our Einstein or so this E is equal to mc squared, it was discovered by him. It was already there in the creation. So he discovered that. So they're all mantra drashta. Here it is the universal law drashta, we can say. But this rishi is also mantra drashta. So there is a rishi for this. The Purusha Suktam is Narayana Rishi. So who is the deity to be worshipped? Devata. The Devata is Bhagavan Narayana or the omniscient Lord Purusha himself is the Devata. Then composed in a particular meter, Anushtup Chandaha. So Anushtup Chandaha, Narayana Rishihi, Bhagavan Purusha himself is the Devata. And now the theme, most important thing is, what is the theme of this Purusha Sukta? Before we enter into the study, we should know what is the theme. So there are four topics are discussed in this Purusha Sukta. One is, what is the nature of God? That we should know. Then what is a sacrifice? So there are so many times it itnena itneva janda devaha. So itne shabda is used many times in this Purusha Sukta. So what is a sacrifice? That we should know. Then creation. What is creation? Which is very mysterious in all religion. Even though it is in front of us, but the cause of the creation, the nature of creation, all of them are mysterious to our mind, to human intellect. Whatever theory we propound, we still don't know what is the real cause. So this the Shakespearean use is there, top to well. So that is the top level also, the most elite or the science or the high class intellectual people or the ordinary person, all of them equally wonder what is this creation. And then the fourth topic is, how should a society live? Samaja Dharma. A vision is given when we know about God, creation, sacrifice, then we know how to conduct ourselves in the society. So these are the so because our action will be influenced by our vision in life. So our action is always influenced by the vision in life. So if one's thinking is based on the color of a skin or religion or nationality, then their outlook and their behavior pattern and their interaction with the society will be totally different. And so also this certain ideas, certain vision one should have in life, the nature of vision and the quality of those thoughts determine our interaction or intake of happiness or unhappiness in life. So the Samaja Dharma is also one of the most important topic given in this Purusha Sukta. So what is dharma? Yato abhyudaya nishreyasa prapti is called dharma. So that which leads an individual to material prosperity. Abhyudaya and nishreyasa prapti. Abhyudaya means material prosperity. Nishreyasa is the spiritual growth. So prosperity and spirituality is called dharma. Both. It should not only one-sided. You don't think that dharma is only for spirituality alone. But it should give you the material gain on prosperity also. That is called karma. Now, this Purusha Suktam is used where it is used every day you offer worship to the Lord. You can in the form, because we cannot conceive that Lord in His magnitude. So Purusha Sukta is sung every day in a conceiving a Lord, whatever personal God you have, whatever be the idol and ideal that you conceive, you can offer Purusha Suktam. And like we teach mathematics, how to teach mathematics the same way. So 2 plus 2 and 2 mango and 2 mango in the both hands, what is the total? And the child calculates and tells for the beginning, oranges, apples, mango, etc. we use. Then afterwards, Once the child learns the calculation, mangoes are not necessary. The same way, these are all alambas, idol, certain icons. Now, idols, people don't say it is icons now. So, idol is not a very good word, they say. So, icons, whatever we say, but these are all used like rungs in a ladder. So, as you grow higher and higher, then these idols, our religion itself says that these idols you should give up. So, we are not idolaters. In the sense, if you propagate or champion the idol worship, then that religion will not reject it at certain point. Since Katho Keno Upanishad and all that, it is said, Tate Tameva Brahmattam Viddhi Naitam Viditam Upasate. It is said, that you understand as Brahman, not what you are worshipping. So, straight away, the Rishi says, what is that in front of you that you are worshipping as an idol? He is not Bhagavan, but it is only a help for you. So once you reach that state, you automatically, that it drops from you. You don't have to hold on to it. It drops itself, like mantra japa. And once the mind becomes quieter, then even turning the beads, it becomes heavy in your hand. At that time, the very mala will drop from your hand. Why? The purpose of the mala is already served. The same way here also, this idol worship also, in the beginning it is necessary. Like a child when he is growing up, the child shows, you know, especially girls, children, they growing up, they have a play kitchen. So why? Because it is necessary for the future mother to grow in emotion. So that emotional growth is possible only through that particular the habit. So we have to encourage that. The same way, the emotion in us has to grow and mature only through the worship of idol. So in the idol worship, this Purusha Suktam is used. For Abhishekam, etc., it is used. Or sometime Vishnu Puja, all the 18 mantras are used for 16 steps. So every step they use one mantra. Then, now just learn to chant at the beginning, just to learn to chant itself is enough. If you don't know the meaning, it doesn't matter. Because the meaning is, we are not taught in the beginning the meaning. After studying the Vedanta for some time, then when the student becomes matured, only then the meaning is given. Because if you just read the meaning, it doesn't make any sense also to you. You will start wondering, what is this? This is what these people are talking so much. You may wonder. But then there are deeper meaning. And to appreciate that, we have to have subtle mind. And so until you get that, it is difficult. So, the chanting itself is enchanting. So you just listen to it. Close your eyes and listen to the chanting. That itself feels uplifting. Then the... what is this Purusha that we are? Keep on chanting. Now this Vishwa, the Lord, the whole creation is His form. Now from a small, let us say, a particular idol, our mind is lifted to the universal form. So slowly, from one form, we have to lift to the universal form. So this is the growth in idol worship. So, jagata ishati yukta sevanam, ashtamurti bhrit deva pujanam. This is the way we have to grow. Once you get there, we ask to go beyond that also. So once you get to beginning, we go with one form. Then later on, we lift ourselves to imagine. So this is very important in upasana. So first we have to concentrate our mind. in order to, so this, there are five steps in our Shastra, it is said. This is given in 12th chapter also, Bhagavad Gita, very briefly Bhagavan has given. There are 12 steps. See, no, sorry, five steps. 12th chapter, five steps are given. What are they? The first is, all of us, when we are told to do meditation, we are not ready. So why? Because we have so many ambitions, we have desires. And Bhagavan, our religion includes all of them. Nobody is rejected. So Bhagavan says, if you have ambition, desires, please go ahead and fulfill it. But only one condition. Your desire should be fulfilled through dharmic means, righteous means. And then when the result comes, consider it as coming from the Lord. So these two aspects are taken into consideration. That is called karma yoga. Through karma yoga alone, one can purify our mind, neutralize our mind. Then once that is achieved, the second stage of karma yoga is, first is, the success is counted how much you have taken from the world. That is what is success, how much have I acquired from the world. Second stage is, how much I can give back to the world. That is real karma yoga, seva. So the jana seva is janardana seva. So nishkama seva that we do, that is the second stage of karma yoga. With that, mind gains purity. But just pure mind alone is not going to give you this Ishvara Sakshatkar. So then why? Because in karma yoga, two levels, both level, you are extrovert. Working in the world, our karanas are engaged in the world itself. Now, then that mind is asked to do upasana. So upasana is what? To bring the mind, gather the mind from the outside world and concentrate on one particular idol or ideal. So this is called upasana. So in the beginning, it is omkara upasana is there. So pranava upasana, it is shabda brahma upasana. Or you can take a particular form and meditate upon that. This is single form. It will give you concentration, single-pointedness. Once we gain that, the second level of upasana is the virad sarupa upasana. So mind has to be expanded. So when mind expands, what happens? It becomes sensitive. So unless the mind becomes sensitive, we will not be able to appreciate the subtlety of the teaching in the Upanishads. Even though the words are spoken, the meanings are known to us, but it doesn't work in us. Why? Because the subtle mind is not developed. So the truth is subtler than the subtlest. In order to appreciate the subtler than the subtlest truth, the equipment with which we have to go and appreciate, that equipment also should be made sharper, subtler. And the methodology of sharpening and making it the subtle is this upasana. And when we have gained that upasana or practiced that upasana for some time, and the mind made into subtler form, only then Vedanta is taught. So the fifth level is called jnana, inquiry into the nature of truth. These are the five, the what you call sadhana, Bhagavan has given in 12th chapter. So there are five choices are given there. These are the five choices. Bhagavan has summarized the entire Veda and given in the 12th chapter. That is why 12th chapter is considered the most beautiful chapter. And so, this, once you get there, so what is that? Virad Sarupa Vasana. then we are asked to go beyond. That is called Nirguna Brahma. So beyond the gunas, one has to go. It is not that you have to go. It is not an attempt you make. You see, what happens is, we think that when you have to say, you have to transcend that when we say, we already start thinking, imagining a concept. We have to do something to transcend. Now suppose you say, you have to transcend the waking, only then you go to sleep. You say, do you have to do anything? You don't have to do. You lie down, you just surrender to sleep. Sleep happens. The same way, once the mind becomes that subtle and you stay focused in that, the transcendent nature of you will take over you. Our Gurudev used to say that when you come to that particular magnetic field of the infinite, it will suck you in. It will take you automatically. So that you don't have to make an effort to transcend. Up to this point, it is your effort. Up to this Virat Swarupa Upasana is the human effort, Purushartha. But afterwards, Purushartha doesn't work. You have to stay completely waiting for it. It will happen. So, once you know that absolute, and then look at the world, and then yourself, it will be totally different. Now, the appreciation of the hymn, Purusha Suktam, is dependent upon the listener's mind. If a mind is ready, it can take you to the absolute truth or take you to the universal form, both. The appreciation depends upon the maturity of the student. So, Vedic mantras are chanted in a particular way with swaras. So that is why they kept the sanctity of the mantras millions of years. Because every language go through certain changes every 200 years, they said. So even though you are speaking English, but that English every 200 years goes into some modification. Today's children, though they are speaking English, in front of you they will be talking about you. You don't know. Because it's a slang. The slang language, I don't know, after 50 years, we don't understand the language. Even though they all speak English, but then that English is different. So every language, for that matter, go through changes. But if that changes affects, because of the tongue, it affects the Vedas, then it will continuously different. It will have a different view, different meaning, different interpretations. The whole sanctity, the purity of the Vedas will be lost. So our rishis have developed a method. This particular intonation, how do you pronounce it? There are certain swaras. So you go up and down, etc. There are some swaras. If you follow that, even if you have different, if you speak different languages, but if you follow the system, you will not make mistakes. Otherwise, sometime it can mean differently, opposite also. So, somebody asked the question that, should I learn properly to chant, otherwise it is dangerous? No, that is because, see, if these mantras are used for rituals. Now, in a ritual, when you are chanting, rituals are always performed with a sankalpa. What sankalpa? That I want to have this, or I want to achieve this, or there are certain desires that ishtakamyartha siddhyartham. So whatever be your ishtakama, so for that siddhi, I am performing this particular rituals. Now when you are performing a ritual, the Veda mantra has to be chanted properly, because in order to get the desired result. But when a person is chanting for the sake of antakarana siddhi, she need not worry about all this. So he can simply chant with bhakti. So there is no particular end in view. So what is there is only mantakarana siddhi. So if you chant just simply whatever the way you know, it is also considered acceptable in this Kali Yuga, it is said. So, Kali Yuga, so much concessions are given. Because in all other yugas, it is not given. Kali Yuga, it is, that is why they say even devatas look for Kali Yuga, it is said. If it is born in Kali Yuga, they consider it is a great reward. Why? Moksha is very easy to get. Bhagavad Chintanam, that is all, just Smaranam. Bhagavad Smaranam itself is enough. You don't have to do much. What was attained through tapas or yatna or pujadi, you can attain that by just taking the name of Lord. So in Bhagavadam it is said, Bhagavadam Shravana itself is enough. Just listen to it. You don't have to do anything. Just listen. That listening through the ears, Bhagavan enter your heart. And then when Bhagavan sees your heart is dirty, he himself take the jhadu, cleans it, and sit there, it seems. So that is the greatness of Bhagavat Chintanam Kathanam. So the Kali Yuga is considered, with those lot of concessions are given there. Now, Purusha has this two aspect. So the version we are going to study is the 18 mantras, which is the Yajurveda. And this Purusha has got two aspects, Nirguna and Saguna aspect. Both one should be able to meditate. Now the Nirguna aspect, one cannot meditate. Only Saguna, so Ishtam Dhyayet. And Brahman is Nyayet, it is said. One should know the Nirguna aspect of it. One cannot meditate upon Nirguna aspect. Now, how do you meditate? That which has no form, no attributes, Nirakar. Everything is used in negative language. So, how are we going to meditate? Because to meditate upon something, mind needs an alamba, something to hold on. So at least a sound, at least some concept should be there. Without that, there is no way mind can hold on. So, Guna aspect one cannot meditate, one has to know. But Saguna aspect, we can meditate. That's why Tushidaji always liked. So, Bhagavan, you have both, but I like your Saguna form. Now, before we understand what is that Purusha, so what is God, we should know. What is the nature of God, etc., before we go into it, we should understand also what is this individual. So, from individual, we go to the total. Now, I have an identity. I have a personality with body, that is called my body, my mind, my intellect. So I am so and so. So in this I find that I am one thing plus something, associated with something. I plus man or woman. So I am short, I am tall, I am fair, I am dark. All these we are talking with reference to upadhis. Then I have certain power of knowing or understanding or acting. So every individual is called alpashaktiman, alpatnyaha, alpavyapi. So we are all alpatnya, little knowledge, alpashaktiman, very little power, alpavyapi, we cannot pervade everywhere. So even though we want to be everywhere, but we have limitations. No one can say, I know everything. So no one can say, I have all the powers, except Mullah Nasruddin said that once. So he said, when I was 16 and now I am 60, my power is the same. So somebody asked, how is that possible? He said, I will prove it to you. See that big stone outside? Yes, When I was 16, I could not move. Now also I cannot move. So my power is the same. So that way you can say, but not otherwise. The strength, nobody can have that total strength. So our knowledge and power of strength, they are all limited. Why? Because of the limitation of this body. That's why in Ramayana, you see, when Hanumanji and Angada and all the monkeys assembled in the seashore, looking at the vast ocean, when somebody informed them that Sitaji I can see in Lanka sitting under a tree. Now, the whereabout of Sitaji is already given to them. Now they know that Sitaji is not dead, she is there, alive. But the place also they know where it is. But now what is necessary to reach there? Now how to reach? So we have to cross this ocean. So each monkey started saying that I can jump 10 miles, I can jump 100 miles. Somebody said I can go 150. Then Angada said, my problem is I can go all right, but I will not stop Lanka. I'll go to Australia. But coming back is a problem. I don't know. So all of them, they counted their capability. Now you see why they were able to count this much, because they identify with their body. So with this body, I can go this much. Their limitations because of the physical identification of their body. But whereas Hanumanji, when he was told that you are born for Ramakarya, what happened? He increased his size. He identified with Bhagavan. Once he identified with Bhagavan, the bodily limitations are transcended, then he could accomplish. Now this is what exactly we have to appreciate also. So our knowledge and power and strength are limited because we identify with this body. I wield only one body, one mind and one intellect, and hence my knowledge is limited, my power is limited, my strength is limited. Therefore, this life plus what is me, this life principle plus one body, one mind, one intellect is called individual. Now the question is, from where does this body come? That is also a big mystery. We may think that it is given to you by the parents. Parents can give you the shape and the structure. But what comes with the body is not in the hands of parents. If they had that choice, they would have ordered a better one. Fortunately, they don't have a choice. So the body has that also. The body has to come from the total. The total is space. Without space, air, fire, water, earth, there is no body. So yesterday I was telling that we have borrowed this body from the five elements. So if there is, now that five elements also must be somebody's property, somebody is wielding that, isn't it? So if there is one entity wielding the body, and then there must be an entity wielding the total body, total mind, total intellect, who is called God, Ishvara. So some people say there is no Ishvara, there is no God, I don't believe in God. But you can ask that question, do you believe in your existence? Then without totality, there is no question of individual existence. In Chandogya Upanishad, there is one upasana. The rishi says, when you are breathing in and breathing out, imagine that the breath that you are taking is connected to Hiranyagarbha.
Hiranyagarbha means total.
Because unless there is a total vayu, how can you breathe? So the very breath itself that we are every day, unconsciously going on in our life, without which we have no existence. We think that it is individual, you know, so much air I am taking, it is private. No, it is not private. It is connected to total. If this appreciates, this is one of the upasana, it is a very beautiful upasana. Whenever you are breathing, you are connected to the total. I am not isolated. I am not single individual. I am connected to the total. If this attitude is there, it is one of the most beautiful upasana. So, it is something like most commonly we use the example wave and ocean. No wave is separate from the ocean. Even though the wave thinks that I am, the one big wave comes and it gets threatened by the big wave, the small wave gets threatened, and then he gets scared also. But then, if suppose the wave understands that, I am not a small individual wave. I am connected to the total ocean. I am essentially the ocean. In essence, my content is H2O. H2O means Satchidananda. So, this I am that H2O, water, once you appreciate, then the threat is not there, big or small. That smallness will go, or even if you are thinking big also how big? There is only limited bigness there, so that also you will go, I mean you will transcend. Now, that Ishvara, the Lord, did He create this world? So it in Upanishad it is a Saikshata Rutyam Prajaye Yeta Satapotapyata Satapattapva. So there are statements that He saw the creation. In Chandokya, in the 6th chapter also, there is Sadeva Saumya Idamagra Asit. Sat alone was there before Agre Asit. Before the creation, Sat alone was in existence. But then a question is asked, if Sat alone was in existence before, then now what happened? After the creation, Sat is lost? No. Even now, Sat alone is there. Before also, Sat alone was there. Then another question is asked, if that alone was there and now also, and it will be, then why do you say this, why do you make the statement, Sat alone was there before creation? This past tense, why did you use? If that alone is there, why do you make such statements? This question is asked. And then said, there is a eva shabda. Shankaracharya writes there, commentary, eva shabda is used there. Sat, sadeva, that eva shabda means that alone was there. Then what happened? Creation. Creation means what? Nama rupa is there. Name and form. Before, there was no name and form. Yeah, that will lead to another question. Now, what happened? So, see, before creation, there was no nama rupa. And after creation, nama rupa has come. In between, from where did it come? You know, and how did that suddenly nama rupa appeared? From where it has come? You see, suddenly from nothing, nothing can come. If there is something already existing, then creation is not necessary. So from creation, creation has come, you cannot say. From nothing, creation cannot come also. So there must be something in between. What is it? So questions are asked there. It's a very beautiful question. And then the teacher answers that, Vedanta answers that, Sadeva Saumya Idamagra Asid, when it is said, that in Sat, the possibility of creation was already in existent and manifest condition. The creation was in existence, like the possibility of a pot is already in existence in the clay. So if that possibility was not there, creation of a pot is not possible. So, the possibility of creation was already in existence in Sat, but in an unmanifest form. Then what is creation? What was unmanifest is brought to manifestation. This is called creation. Then some more questions are asked there. Now the question is, how did that unmanifest exist in Paramatma? How does it? What is the avastha? What is the state? How did it exist? Is it inherent part of Paramatma or it is existing separately? This is a very tricky question. See, if it is separately existing, then what happened? It has a parallel existence. Truth and then what? The Nama Rupa is as though separately existing. If it is separately existing, then what happened? There are two truths. Dvaitam comes. That is also not possible. If it is inherent part of it, then another problem comes. So whatever modification happens to the Nama Rupa, it affects the cause, Paramatma. Anga Pariname, Anki Parinama. So that is also not possible. So Vedanta answers that this Nama Rupa is like a shadow of Bhagavan. It has an apparent existence that is called Maya. That apparent existence dependent upon Bhagavan, but the Lord is not dependent upon it. So this creation, as it were, is a manifestation of what was inherent in Maya. It bring into manifestation is creation. So that creator, then why do you say Sa Ikshata? So why don't you say Maya Ikshata? Sa means the Lord saw. Why did you say that? Because this Maya is part of Lord. Therefore, he says, identifying with Maya, he says, he saw. What? The previous creation. So he saw the possibility of creation, and then the sankalpa matra, and all these are happening sankalpa matra. One thought. This, let me become many. He created it. So that creator, my point for telling all these things is that creator created this world. So once you become conscious of your power, the idea is that once you become conscious of your power, Brahman became conscious of his power. What is that? Maya power. Then what happened? He cannot keep quiet. He has to create. It is something like you all came to this America with F1 visa. What is that? F3 visa, whatever visa you came. Then student visa. Then you studied. At that time, you didn't have much money. Old car which was discarded on the road, you went and bought for $100 or $50, and then you are sharing your accommodation with others. Then finally somehow you managed to graduate or whatever study you came, PhD or something. And once you got that education, you got a job. Then what happened? Your power increased. Means that there is a pocket money started coming. Then you saw that what this accommodation is no good. Then you go to an apartment complex. And then also you got more better job. better money, got a permanent job. They applied for green card and you got a permanent job now. Permanent America is no permanent job. But then, when you thought it is now confident. So then you have moved from apartment to a townhouse, then from townhouse to an independent house. That is also to a, what you call, best school district. Then it has more expensive houses there. And now you thought of getting married. And finally, then the interviews, etc. No, nowadays things are different. But nobody wants to come to America. The girls don't want to come to America, they say. Why go there and wash your own kitchen and clean in your bathroom? Drive your own car when we can have chauffeur-driven car and servants taking care of everything. That is, the standard of life is much higher there than here. You have money, but you don't have life. That's what they say. So, once, after some time, one or two times you got fired, then what do you say? I will start my own company, isn't it? Why? You identify with your power, your strength. Once you know your strength, then you become confident. Then you become, you can't but create. So this is what Bhagavan also, once he became conscious of his power, the creation starts. So that reality, in his own pure state, he was there. And that total possibility of creation was dormant in him. Then he became conscious of his omniscient, omnipotent nature. When he became conscious of this power, he cannot keep quiet, but create. That is why some people, once they know they can sing, then the whole household will suffer. So that Lord, when he became conscious of his power, let me become many, decided. So that is called Purushaha. So once he started creating, only then he is called creator of this creation. Before that he is not a creator. With reference to creation, he is called creator. So far no problem. But when he fell in love with this creation, then what happened? First is a creator, then creation, then creature. Creator identifies with this creation, he becomes creature, jiva. So that's why once you build the house, after grihapravesham, when you own the house, what happened? You are called householder. Means house is holding you. You become bound. Exactly same thing. The Lord created this world and identifying with this creation become jiva. So Purusha and jiva, essentially both are one and the same. But so Purusha, as it were, sacrificed himself to become what? Jiva. Now to regain his original nature, what is to be done? The same sacrifice is to be done to regain his lost glory. So this is what is Purusha Suktam. Now we will see tomorrow. So we'll read first verse. सहस्रशीर्षा पुरुषः सहस्राक्षः सहस्रपात् स भूमिं विश्वतो वृत्वा अत्यतिष्ठत्यशाङ्कुलम्. विल् सी द मीनिङ्ग् टुमारो मार्निङ्ग्. ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पुनात् पूर्णमुदच्यते. பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஹரி ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம்.